Not long before the first of three presidential debates was held on October 3rd in Denver, Colorado, three corporate sponsors of the debates announced they were pulling their support for the highly rated nationally televised election program. The three companies, Philips Electronics, BBH New York, and the YWCA, withdrew their sponsorship in response to a campaign by supporters of Libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson, who was excluded from the debate, and other groups critical of the Commission on Presidential Debates, a private corporation established by the Democratic and Republican parties. Philips North America spokesperson Mark A. Stevenson told the Politico News website that the company doesn't want to provide even the slightest appearance of supporting partisan politics. This follows a campaign launched by the group Open Debates and 17 other public policy organizations demanding that the Commission on Presidential Debates publicly disclose the secret debate contract that was negotiated by representatives of the Obama and Romney campaigns. The contract defines the format, participation, and how critical questions will be handled within the debate structure. George Farah, founder and executive director of the group Open Debates, charges that the Commission on Presidential Debates undermines U.S. democracy because the group serves the interests of the nation's two major political parties and not the public interest of the American people. Your reporter spoke with Farah, who explains why his group and others are demanding full disclosure of the secret contracts that organize the presidential debates and how the system of political debates could be reformed.
Since 2004, I've been calling on a boycott of various sponsors. We've engaged in letter writing and email campaigns pushing the various sponsors to terminate their and withdraw their support of the commission. The commission is usually sponsored by between 8 and 10 different companies every 4 years, every election cycle. Anheuser-Busch is by far and away the biggest contributor to the commission, has given millions of dollars to the commission. So in many ways, our presidential debates are brought to you by Bud Light. And we have repeatedly called on these sponsors to withdraw their support and have failed. This election cycle, with the help of another nonprofit that was uniquely created this election cycle to make this happen, Help the Commission is its name, and with the infusion of energy from the Libertarian parties and their outrage at the exclusion of their particular nominee, Gary Johnson, this kind of trifecta of force resulted in an unprecedented letter writing and email campaign. It was unprecedented in scope. And because of the social media, it ricocheted throughout the Internet, and it actually worked so far. Within the last week, three of the 10 sponsors have terminated their support for the Commission on Presidential Debates and have issued various statements. The YWCA's was the most aggressive, saying that they're an organization committed to peace and justice and therefore no longer can be affiliated with the Commission. And the most muted version of it was Philips Electronics, the tech giant. They simply said, you know, although we think the commission is nonpartisan, we understand that there are millions of people out there who think it's partisan or bipartisan, and we can't be affiliated with such an entity. This is fantastic news, and it's the beginning of tangible effects of our efforts and the efforts of allies and, you know, third parties around the country from the Green Party to the Constitution Party, Libertarian Party, to raise the public consciousness about what's actually happening. And we're seeing, it's wonderful to see. It's a triumph for the debate reform movement, and I think one of the milestones in the coming election cycles for transformation of the process.
What are the major weaknesses that you have seen in recent debates between presidential candidates? What are the questions not being asked? What's the problem with the format that these two parties have hammered out in secret?
To me, there are four critical issues. You know, the first is the formats themselves. Because the candidates are terrified of making a mistake in front of tens of millions of voters, they do whatever they can often to sanitize the debate formats, to eliminate the possibility of unpredictable questions, and to really allow themselves to deploy a series of memorized sound bites in the debates. And so if you look at the contracts, you'll actually see provisions that say the candidates cannot ask each other a question. You know, so there's no likelihood that Mitt Romney is going to ask Obama to make a $10,000 bet. Some debate contracts even say the candidates can't talk to each other. If you look at the town hall format, the first town hall debate was in 1992. The audience members could ask whatever they wanted. No one knew what they were going to ask. They were able to ask follow-up questions, and it caused a little bit of a firestorm because they caused President Bush at the time to stumble. Well, now the town hall debate, all the contracts say that each question asked in the town hall debate must be submitted in advance to the moderator. The moderator throws out the ones he or she doesn't like, and then the actual audience member can only ask that question if it's approved by the moderator and the moderator points to them, and then the microphone is turned off and they can't ask a follow-up question. In other words, in large part, the audience members are props because the moderator is still selecting all the fundamental questions. So you have these, you know, in 1996 they banned follow-up questions. Each presidential debate contract is a little bit different, but by and large, they're prohibiting actual, real debate between each other. They're eliminating the possibility of them getting past the memorized soundbite. The second issue, of course, is the exclusion of third-party candidates. My organization strongly advocates for the inclusion of every candidate that's on enough mathematical ballots to have a chance of winning the presidency that the vast majority of Americans want to see. If a majority of Americans want to see a candidate, what right does a private corporation financed by Anheuser-Busch and controlled by the two parties to say to the American people no? How is that, you know, if the American people only want to see two candidates, we want just two candidates on that stage. If they want to see four, we think there ought to be four. The child of the sponsors to reflect the aspirations of the American people. And the last thing I'll quickly mention is the limiting of debate. Each contract says the candidates cannot participate in any other debate by any other sponsor with any other candidate. And that doesn't make any sense. We have 27 Republican primary debates sponsored by a multitude of organizations. Abraham Lincoln and Stephen Douglas had eight debates in 1858. We're facing an unemployment crisis, complex foreign policy issues. Why are we rationing the debates? They're an antidote to money, and they allow the voters to actually make informed choices. So those, I think, are the three principal criticisms. The format's being sanitized, candidates are being excluded, and there's just not enough debates.
That was George Farah, founder and executive director of the group Open Debates, and author of No Debate, How the Republican and Democratic Parties Secretly Control the Presidential Debates. Visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org to learn more about the campaign to reform the system of U.S. presidential debates.